Okay, before I start, I ask you a question. Okay? When you are eating, where is your mind? Where is your mind? When you are eating, what you observe? Mahinda? Good. What else? That's all? That's all? Okay. Okay. Cold? Okay. The taste. So when it's good taste, what happened to you? When it is good taste, what happened to you? And then how you observe? How you stop the craving? Okay, good. So other meditation, how you observe when you eat your food, when you take your lunch? This is also part of the practice. Huh? Practice doesn't mean sitting there only. Every moment you are aware of what is happening. This is the practice. We call moment to moment practice. Okay. So today I want to share with you how to practice during eating, because we have to eat every day. We have to eat every day, so we don't miss or waste our time or develop more craving when eating. The first to observe your food, as the gentleman has said, you observe the four elements of the food. What are the four elements? Food is made up by four elements. First is earth element, Pathavi Dhatu, Apo Dhatu, water element, Pathavi Apo Tejo Dhatu, temperature or heat element, and the last one, Vayu Dhatu, wind element. So in the ultimate sense, food is made up by these four elements. So when the food touches your tongue, you feel the hardness, you feel the softness, you feel the cold heat of the food. So if you can feel it, then you mentally, you should note earth element, water element. If you feel after you feel the food, the liquid comes, this is called flowing. This is water element, apo dhatu. So you know it's flowing, you mentally you note water element or apo dhatu, pathavi dhatu, apo dhatu, vayu dhatu, tejo dhatu. You contemplate in this way, then you will not cling to the food. Okay. Then sometimes the good taste, especially when you feel thoroughly, now you feel the taste, very good taste, the essence, the oja, the nutriment. You feel the nutriment of the food, then you will see it gives you very pleasant feeling. Pleasant feeling. Sukha vedana. So when it's pleasant feeling, you must first aware of the pleasant feeling. Sukha vedana has arisen in me. Your mindfulness must be sharp in order to know before it goes to craving. Okay? Vedana paccaya tanha. So before it goes to craving, you must aware, oh, pleasant feeling has arisen in me. Aware of it. Observe it. But when your mindfulness is not strong, although you know pleasant feeling has arisen, but because your mindfulness and wisdom is not sharp, it still goes to the craving. Pleasant feeling dependent on vedana paccaya tanha. So your mind starts to crave because of the pleasant feeling. This is the natural reaction of the mind. So your mind craves, then you want more again. You want more and more. At that time, you eat not to sustain the body. but to feed the craving. At that moment, you always want to feed the craving, no more for the purpose of obtaining the body. Okay. So it's very important to aware of the feeling. Okay, pleasant feeling has arisen in me. Know it. Even though it goes to the craving, it's okay. Then you still can contemplate craving. Craving also impermanent. If you eat more than 3 or 4 or 5, when the craving is satiated, then you stop. Then you don't want anymore. Any more than that, it becomes suffering. More than that, turn up becomes suffering for you. So if you can observe in this way, you understand cause and effect. Cause and effect. You know, you understand why feeling arises. Okay, answer me, why feeling arises? Sri Lankan, very good Dhamma knowledge. So they are able to answer my questions. Why feeling arises? Pasa, pachaya, vedana. So because of pasa, what type of pasa? We have 6 types of pasa. Contact. What contact? At that moment when you are eating, what type of contact? What? Yes. Tongue contact. Tongue contact. We have 6 types of contact. Ear contact. Eye contact. Ear contact, nose contact, tongue contact. So during eating is tongue contact. So feeling arises because of tongue contact, because you keep on putting food into your mouth and the food touch your tongue because of tongue contact, a lot of feeling. When the food is agreeable with you, pleasant feeling arises. When the food is not agreeable with you, unpleasant feeling, you don't want anymore. You will not take it for the second time. So you see the cause and effect. You see the cause and effect. Then after, it's pleasant feeling, then craving, you want more. You want more. So it's not, everything occurs according to cause and effect, not a person. Not a abiding self. It's just a cause and effect. Cause and effect. You keep on telling yourself, it's just a cause and effect. You see how the cause and effect works. And if you can move through, throughout the eating process, you feel yourself like a robot. It's called robot, R-O-B-O-T, robot. So if every time when I eat with mindfulness, I feel I'm like a robot. Just see the whole eating process. After things done, forget everything. Why I eat just now, I don't know. all passed away already. It's wonderful. If you eat with mindfulness, the eating process, you have no attachment at all. So, first you have to start with pasa, 4 elements. First you start observing the 4 elements, then you observe the pasa, how pasa dependent on contact, how feeling arises. There's pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling. Not only pleasant. For example, you eat chili, which you don't like. Wow, unpleasant feeling arise in you. So you know it's unpleasant feeling. Then you must disidentify the feeling as I, mine, myself. Feeling is just feeling. Vedana is just vedana. So mentally you should identify, okay, unpleasant feeling has arisen in me. Unpleasant feeling is not I, not my, not myself. Mentally, you have to know. If not, the subconsciousness still cling to this feeling as I, my, myself. It's an important point. Disidentify it, then investigate. Why feeling arises? Because of contact. Then, pleasant feeling arises because of pleasant feeling, craving arise. You will see the whole process very, very clearly. If you eat with mindfulness and wisdom, then you will not become the slave of your craving. And this is an important practice because we have to eat every day. We have to eat every day. So this is a time how you develop wisdom. I take every eating to develop a lot of wisdom during my eating process. So I want to eat alone so that I can observe very detailed, you know, what happens in my mind or what happened to my tongue, you know, I can observe very detailed. If I eat with a group, you know, I can't concentrate well. So that's why when during eating, don't talk. Observe what happened to your mind and body. Then disidentify the feeling as I, my, myself. Although you cannot see feeling separate from I, at this moment you cannot see, but after some time you will really see. Feeling is just feeling. It's really non-self, not a self. But before you reach this stage, you've got to direct your mind first to disidentify feeling as I, my first. Only then you will see the ultimate truth. If you never direct your mind, or you never identify, or you never disidentify feeling as I, my, myself, you will never see feeling as non-self. No? So it's called Yoniso Manasikara, wise attention. Direct your attention rightly, correctly, wisely. Only then the truth will manifest itself. If you do not direct your attention wisely, your subconsciousness, unless you are sotapanna. If you are not sotapanna, your subconsciousness will cling to feeling as I, my, myself. Your clip will cling to the craving as I, my, myself. Because in the round of rebirth, this sakkaya dhiti, personality view, sakkaya dhiti, has deep rooted in our mental clay. So if mentally you do not disidentify it, your subconsciousness will cling to them as I, my, myself. So this important, it's very important to have yoniso manasikara, wise attention, whatever you do. So it directs this wise attention, directs your mind towards the right destination. What is the right destination? To see impermanent, anicca, dukkha, anatta of all phenomena. Okay, so this lesson you have to work every day, so that you will not become the slave of your craving. And you may ask, what's the danger of craving? What's the danger of craving? Craving is the origin of suffering. Samudaya satya. We have dukkha satya, samudaya satya. We have the truth of suffering. We have the origin of the truth of suffering. What is the origin of the truth of suffering? Craving. And this craving brings us to the repeated endless cycle of birth and death. So think like this. It's a small matter. Not craving for food is a small matter. No. Every craving produces what? Clinging. Tanha pachaya upadana. Every craving produces clinging. Every clinging produces bawa. Bawa is bawa. Bawa means karma activity. Every craving leaves behind karma activity, karma potency, karma force. This force will latent in our mental stream. When the time ripens, it springs up and produce new rebirth. Bawa pacaya syati depend on the becoming birth arising. When there is birth, there is sorrow, lamentation, pain, despair. Thus arise the wholeness of suffering. That's what Buddha taught. So don't belittle, don't look down at light feeling. You know, don't belittle the craving. Think it's not a slight craving, it's not so important. No, every craving leads to clinging. Every clinging leads to becoming. Every becoming leads to new birth. When there's birth, there's sorrow, suffering, mental stress, and so on. Okay. Now, I'm going to answer your question. The question, even when the breath is very subtle, thoughts are bothering, how can we overcome this problem? Okay, there are two stages when the breath becomes subtle. One is the moment you start, the breath already subtle. Another, the second one is after some time when your mind settles down, only the breath becomes subtle. So if your case is the moment you sit, the breath becomes subtle, then your mind will be restless. Why? Because it's too subtle for you, for your mind to anchor there. So that's why you are still bothered by the thought. But for the second case, you know, only after some time, your mind settles down and your breath becomes subtle, this is a good one, not the first one. So you must know which one, this one, whether it's in the first case or second case. So if it's the first case, because the moment you sit is already subtle, then you have to, I suggest you to count. When the thought bother you, using counting method. Breathing in, breathing out, one, breathing in, breathing out, two, count up to five. Then go again, up to five, or up to six, or up to seven, or up to eight, not more than eight. You count, breathing in, breathing one, breathing in, breathing out two, breathing in, breathing out three. Is this the first case? But the second case, only after some time, because you have been practicing for a long time, you know, and you can settle down very easily, and your breath becomes very subtle, then you have, the mind has nothing to anchor because breath is so subtle, then you can slightly breathe, make your breath little bit grow, little bit on it, that your mind can anchor on the breath. Then your mind will not wander here and there. Okay? When I have my attention, another question, when I have my attention on the tip of my nose, breath is very calm. I strongly feel that my upper body moves or vibrates, going up and down according to the breath. At this time, should I observe this movement or should I bring attention to tip of the nose? So when I have my attention on the tip of my nose, please remember, if you just observe the tip of the nose without breath, this is not correct. Touching point is not the object of your observation. Breath is the object of your observation. If you only know the touch, not knowing the breath, it is not okay. Not okay. You cannot develop very good concentration. You cannot develop jhana. Because breath, nimitta come from the breath, not come from the touching point. Okay? And if your upper body moves, vibrates, you should neglect this movement. Sometimes, I don't know how strong is your vibration. If it moves like that, so strong, then you should stop the vibration. Using heaviness, put your hand down, then your body won't vibrate. Because if you vibrate like that, you cannot develop good concentration. Unless you want to shift to vipassana. If you want to remain practicing anapana, you stop it first. Push down, use heaviness. to make your body stable, then your vibration will stop. And if you pay attention more, for example, you stop observing the breath and you go and observe, you shift your attention to this vibration, it will move even more. And the body will move even more. Why? Because it already vibrates. You pay more attention, it moves even more. So don't pay attention to it. Go back to the breath. If it still vibrates, use heaviness to stabilize your sitting body. Okay? The next question. So, please go back now to the tip of the nose and aware of the breath. Not the tip of the nose itself, but the breath. Okay. The second question, could you please summarize the 9 a.m. meditation instructions given by you this morning? Summarize. Okay, I will repeat one more time. Tonight talk, I also will repeat. Okay. This meditation is called Anapanasati. All the Bodhisattva before he become enlightened, I'm not only summarize, I will add in more information for you. All Bodhisattva before enlightenment practice Anapanasati, mindfulness of breathing. And this method is so easy because you are breathing all the time. You are breathing 24 hours. But why? The problem is that you never pay attention to your breath. Your mind always, you know, engaged in the sixth sense object. Your mind only follow externally. It's only few hours or not even a time you come back to your breath. That's why you miss a lot of golden opportunities to develop good concentration. So now, this method is to keep your mind, draw your mind from the external things, come to the internal things, which is your breath. So pay attention on your breath, then breathing in mentally. If you are a beginner, mentally note in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. Mentally note help you to help to stop restlessness. Then breathing in, breathing out. If you are a beginner, I suggest you to use counting method. Counting method very good to calm down the mind. Breathing in, breathing out, one. Breathing in, breathing out, two. Up to five. In the beginning, up to five enough. Because if I ask you to count up to eight, maybe four, you already forget the number. Because the mind is so restless in the beginning. So up to five, then come back again, breathing in, breathing out, one, breathing in, breathing out, two, up to five, then come back again. The whole sitting, you just count. Then your mind will not go here and there. Okay. Then, this one point, important point. The second important point, don't follow the breath. Breathing in, the breath go up to the head. Breathing out, the breath go down to the stomach. Don't follow the breath. Why? Why? Okay. If you follow the breath, because Anapanasati is to develop deep concentration, jhana concentration up to fourth jhana. To develop deep concentration, we need one pointedness of mind. If your mind moving like that, up and down, you cannot develop one pointedness of the mind. So important not to move, not to move your mind up and down, but keep your mind under the nostril. Limit this area. Under the nostril, not inside. If you keep your attention inside, it will cause tension on the nose. Very soon your nose will become very hot. Then you don't know how to meditate. When it's very hot, you cannot feel the breath. So don't keep your attention inside, but under the nostril, the tip of the upper lip or somewhere here. Okay. For beginners, if you can feel the touching point where the air touches here or here or here. If you can feel the touching point, you keep your mind on the touching point. But the breath on the touching point, not the touching point itself. Okay? On touching point, no breath is not okay. Why should we keep the mind on the touching point? Because for the beginners, they are not used to the practice. So the mind will follow the breath, go up, go down, go up, go down. So if you keep your attention on the touching point, the mind anchors there. The mind anchors there, then your mind will not move up and down. But if you are the advanced meditator, forget the touching point. Just aware of the breath moving in and out under the nose tip. Just enough. Okay? Then, restlessness sure occurs. You know the mind restless. New mind come back again. Don't get irritated by your restlessness. If you get irritated by your restlessness, your mind becomes hot. Then you cannot meditate well. No, don't react. Don't react to it. If you know your mind wanders here and there, then you start to understand the nature of the mind. The nature of the mind is wander here and there. Before you come to meditation, you do not realize. Why? Why? Tell me why. Before you come to meditation, you don't think your mind so restless because you so concentrate on your work. You can do well, but only come to meditation, you feel that why the mind is so restless. Why you start to realize? Yes, because you feel the mind, then you see clearly. Before that, your mind is so restless, you don't even know you are restless. But now, when you feel down your mind, you start to see clearly what's happening to your mind. So when your mind becomes restless, and you are aware your wandering thought, you aware your mind wanders here and there, you should be happy. You should be happy. Then you tell yourself, now I understand my mind better. Okay? Then gradually you work with it. You work with it. How your mind going out from your object. How? Then you work with it slowly, then you are able to tame your mind. If you understand it well, you can tame it easily. If you don't understand it at all, you don't know how to fight. You don't know how to start to fight with it. Okay. So now your mind wander off, then come back again. And for the beginner, the second enemy you have, the second good friend, we have three good friends in a meditation in the beginning. Number one is restlessness. It accompanies you all the time, your faithful friend. Second, pain. After 45 minutes, the pain arrives here and there. This is also your good friend. You've got to bear with it. Don't give attention to it. You can change posture if you cannot bear with it. If you can bear, if the pain does not disturb your concentration, don't move, don't change posture. Until you feel that your mind always goes to the pain, the mind can't concentrate on the breath anymore, then you change posture to ease your pain. If you do not bear, every time little bit pain, you change posture, then it becomes your habitual pattern. Every time little bit pain, you change, then you are unable to sit long. For concentration practice, you need to sit long in order to develop deep concentration. Okay, so if you can bear the pain, bear it first. Then the third good friend you have is slow and subtle, sleepiness. Sleepiness is the third good friend. Why? Because our mind used to engage. Our mind used to engage in sensual pleasures. And now we have to stop our five sense door. And turn back inwardly, and the breath no enjoyment. Breathing in, breathing out, brings no enjoyment at all.
So very soon the mind now becomes sleepy.
This is natural.
Huh?
This is natural.
So in the beginning, this three good friend will follow you all the time. If you want to win over your mind, you've got to bear with it. If you don't have the courage, you just follow your good friend, restlessness, slow and proper, then you will never break through your meditation. So courage, effort is necessary in the meditation practice.
Okay.
Then, after that, gradually your mind will settle down. When the mind settle down, then your breath will become softer and softer. And there's one, because you want me to repeat, there's one important instruction is that the way, the attitude you observe the breath, what attitude you should have. When you observe the breath, don't try to change your breath. When it is unclear, know it is unclear. When it is clear, know it is clear. When the breath is long, sometimes you breathe in, it takes long time to finish. Sometimes you breathe out, it takes long time to finish. Then you know it's long breath or it's short breath. Just aware, just know enough. Don't try to change anything. Just like you observe the flow of the river, you have no intention at all to change the flow of the river. This is an important point. You should bear in mind.
Okay, last question. As a beginner, what basic strategies are there to adapt when meditating?
What basic strategy? Follow the teacher 100%. Follow what the teacher says. Why? Because teacher is well experienced. You know? So this comes from the experience and comes from the teaching, you know. So if you follow what the teacher says, you are bound to make progress. But if there's any hindrances that you have, you can pose the question to the teacher. Don't keep in your heart. If you keep in your heart, then it takes longer time to make progress. The moment you have the question, you have the doubt, you approach the teacher. Then you solve it very quickly, then you make further progress. And also in the beginner, don't expect anything. You know, when you come for meditation, don't expect anything. Because for the beginner, you will not, unless you have very good parami in the past life, you are not going to make very, very quick change. You are not going to experience the peace of the mind for the very beginning. You know? So if you expect something and you do not, you know, the expectation does not come true, then you may lose your enthusiasm. So for the beginner, don't expect anything and listen to what teacher says. I think this is the best strategy. Okay? Okay, so any other questions? No? No, we can stop here. Okay? Yes? Okay. Walking meditation, it has two ways. One way is that when you walk, if it's long retreat, I will not encourage you to walk slow. But if it's a short retreat, like 3 days, 5 days, you should walk slow. Because when you walk slow, you can catch your mind. You know, if you walk fast, then you are unable to aware of your mind. You are unable to aware your mental state. So in the short retreat, walk slow. There are two ways to observe. If you want to practice anapana all the time, then lifting, then you breathing in.
You lifting, breathing in, put down, breathing out. Okay, lifting, breathing in, put down, breathing out. Like a rhythm. The breath goes together with the step. Breathing in, lifting up your foot. Breathing out, put down your foot. Breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in, breathing out. Okay, just one way. If you do want to practice anapana, you want to practice observing your step, it's also okay. Can, four elements meditation. You're lifting, you see, very heavy. Then this earth element. Putting down, if it's light or heavy, also earth element. Then the touch the floor, you feel softness, you feel lightness, you feel heat, then this lightness is also earth element. If you feel heat, it's fire element. So you can, then you push is wind element. This thing pushing, push is wind element. Then you observe wind element. Then putting down, touch hardness, then this earth element. So either one. Another foot thing. Then sometimes you say earth element is not I, not my, myself. You got to tell yourself, this just element walking. It's not I, not my, myself. Just element walking. Then you see, this all the element is materiality, rupa. The observing mind is nama. The nama observing your movement. So it's nama, rupa, nama, rupa. So there are two ways. One way you can practice anapana, or you can practice four elements meditation, discerning nama rupa. And but during your walking, sometimes emotion comes. Certain emotion comes. Then you observe your emotion, aware of it. For example, you expect something, expectation comes something, then you aware. You stop, then aware, expectation has arisen in me, expectation. Then contemplate impermanent. Expectation is only cause and effect, impermanent, impermanent, and let go, then continue to walk. Okay? If you can aware whatever emotion comes during your walking, then stop, observe that emotion. That's called mental state. Citta nupasana, dhamma nupasana. This also meditation. Don't only pay attention to the body, mind. Pay attention more on mind, that you can see more anatta nature, non-self nature. Okay? Is it clear? Okay. So if you feel sleepy now, you want to walk, you can walk, because after lunch, usually Buddha also say, after lunch is not for sleeping, for walking. You can walk, then come early and sit, no problem. Okay? We walk half an hour, then come and sit.